We'll step through the creaking door into the inner sanctum in just a moment. WRVO thanks the Business Journal for support of the WRVO Playhouse, heard 7 nights a week on the WRVO stations. The Business Journal, available every week. The July issue feature reports on small businesses, insurance, telecommunications, employee benefits, and construction. 800-836-3539. Michael Grimm Landscape and Tree Service, certified arborists and certified landscape professionals, serving Central New York since 1974. Michael Grimm Landscape and Tree Service, 469-1222. Oswego State University, where the Oswego Guarantee means a commitment to excellence, educational value, and the assurance that classes will be available for the timely completion of your baccalaureate degree. 341-2250 on the web at oswego.edu. And the WRVO stations, thank you. Check of our forecast before we get into our next program. Clear to partly cloudy skies and comfortable for tonight. The temperatures throughout the overnight hours dropping down to the range of 58 to 63. Tomorrow and Friday, both partly sunny days. It'll be warmer and more humid. High temperatures both days ranging in the 80s. A bit cooler, though, near Lake Ontario, and could be in the 90s in some urban areas. There's a chance of a thunderstorm late Friday afternoon and into Friday night. Right now on the WRVO Playhouse, time to step through that creaking door. On the Columbia Broadcasting System, July 18th, 1949, it's Deadly Fair on Inner Sanctum.
Man.
You going to the manor?
Yes, ma'am. It took a quick look up and down the station platform to watch for fragments. Brad Smith was leaving a local citizen stranded in the middle of the night. And I saw him coming towards me, carrying a suitcase. He must have got off in the first car.
Is this a taxi?
Yes, sir.
I can't tell these suburban taxis look like private cars.
Where's this?
You go to New Rochelle? I slept past my station.
Well, good thing you only slept by one station.
Sure, I'll take it.
If you don't mind riding while I stop this lady's back.
I took the mic off the dashboard. Call
it. 54 calling radio taxi. 54 calling radio taxi.
Come in, 64.
Station the man of Rochelle.
I put the mic back on the dashboard hook and settled down for the run.
How are you boys doing since you installed the two-way radio service?
Oh, fine.
Must say, it's improved the service. Is it dependable?
Oh, yes, ma'am. No trouble at all. Circuit's always open for us to receive messages. If I want to talk back, I just press the button on the hand mic.
What's the address?
26 Maryland.
Calling 64. Radio taxi, calling 64. Hey, Angelo, listen to me.
What's eating you, Louie? Place on fire?
Hey, Angelo, you just got a police call. Don't pick up a guy with a tan raincoat. The cops are looking for him. He's a killer.
Take it easy, Louie. Now, what's this you're saying about a killer?
What'd
he say? The cops say he got on at Grand Central with a ticket to New Rochelle.
But the what?
Well, listen, Angelo. The guy didn't get off at New Rochelle. You pick up someone with a tan raincoat?
Turn around to look. To see the man in the back seat had a raincoat. You could almost hear the woman sitting beside him holding her breath. And then I recalled the guy as he walked down the station platform. I recalled plain that he did not have a raincoat, only a suitcase.
Well, your pipe's down, Lou. You better get some coffee at the diner. If you fall asleep, you'll be having nightmares. Roger. Good thing I have no raincoat, madam.
Yes,
strange that all that should stand in the way is a raincoat. How's that?
Oh, driver, right there, please. Turn that street light. How much is it?
35.
Thanks.
You changed.
She just waved her hand, just telling me to keep the change from McDonald's.
He's kind of scared, if you ask me.
Are you?
Scared? What for?
The killer.
Ah, that Louie, he gets excited about everything. Always adding a little out of his own head. What's the address in Rochelle?
Bayside Lane, 36.
36 Bayside Lane?
Yes, know the place?
Off Hillside Road, long driveway.
That's it.
I drove a party up there for the manor tonight.
What did he look like?
I didn't say it was a hint, Jack.
Well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Tall chap, slick looking, mustache.
Well, look, I didn't talk out of turn, did I, mister?
Not at all. I rather expect I'll find him still there.
What's your name?
Angelo Minetti. Mine's Baker. But don't let me embarrass you, Angelo. It's quite all right. That party you drove to my house is seeing my wife. Isn't that what you think?
Oh, you got me wrong, mister. I don't think nothing.
Don't you really? Lots of others think so. Rather common gossip, as they say. But I'm not angry. Not at all. I'll take care of everything once I get home.
Calling 64. Radio taxi calling 64. Hey, Manny.
Come in, Louie.
Got some more dope on that killer. He got into Grand Central on the train from Albany. Murder in the club car told the cops the guy was making cracks about having a gun and taking care of the wife and the boyfriend.
Well, so what? What are you bothering me with it for? Go call the Daily News or the Mirror.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, here's what I want to tell you. The cops in the Mirror, that got on the train and found the raincoat hanging on a hook in the first car. Conductor thinks it was left by a guy who got off the parking lot with a suitcase. How about that fare you picked up?
There was a gun in my bed. Gun was at the side of my head. His finger was on his lips, warning me.
You did say Rochelle, didn't you?
I could see the trigger finger bending, and his head shaking from side to side to tell me to say no.
No, Louie, I had two. One to the man of the other to Rochdale. Not Rochelle. I didn't get it right the first time. I forgot to call you. Also, he didn't have a suitcase.
Oh, that's a relief. Say, how's about coming back to the shack so I can get a bite of the diner?
Yeah, sure thing. Soon as I'm free. This guy wants me to wait for him. Take him back to the station.
Roger.
Nice work, Angelo.
I got a wife and kids to take him with me.
Do
You want to go to 36 Bayside Lane?
That's right. Gotta slow down. There's Bayside Lane right ahead.
All right, this will do.
I wouldn't like it if they heard us coming up the driveway.
There'll be a star in the corner, sir.
Get out, Angelo.
You want me to get out?
That's right. You're coming in with me to be my witness.
Witness? What for?
Divorce, maybe.
Oh, please, Mr. Baker, that's not right. I can't afford to get mixed up like this.
Move my taxi. Get out. And don't slam the door.
Yes, sir.
Carry my bag, please.
He speared me with the gun in my bag. Slowly taking each step in the dark across the lawn, shielded by a high hedge, and around to the back of the house, to the kitchen. The lights were on, and we could see his wife and the boyfriend making themselves some bacon and eggs.
All right, Angelo, pull open the door. Hello, Doris. Hello, Walter.
What are you doing with that gun?
Please, sir.
Excuse me while I close the door, Walter. No use waking the neighbors. Oh, Doris, this is Angelo.
Walter?
Angelo.
The introductions were polite all night, but deadly. And he looked like he was enjoying it, a big joke. But there was nothing funny about that crazy grin on his face and the way he kept waving the gun around at the three of us.
Well, Walter?
Please, you frighten me.
Walter's not frightened. He never was. Of me. Isn't that so, Walter?
Well, why don't you answer?
There's nothing to say.
Doris,
do you love Walter? Come now.
Of course.
And you, Walter, do you love Doris?
Yes.
He's a liar.
Yes, please.
He's lying, Doris. I know he's lying. He wouldn't go around bragging how he sees you every time I go out of town if he really loved you.
That's not true.
We're going to be married.
Oh, married. Not until you become a widow, Doris. I'll never give you a divorce. Or are you planning to divorce me?
All right, Philip, you found me here and you have a witness. What are you going to do about it?
I came back from Albany tonight to kill you.
Philip!
But I'll give you just one more chance. If I ever hear that you're trying to see Doris again behind my back, I swear I'll kill you. And Angelo here can be my witness, but I warned you. Remember that, Angelo.
Yes. You got me wrong, Philip. Sure, I did see Doris, but anyone around talking about it.
Don't come any
closer to what I said to Doris. Let's show it.
Give me that gun. Let me go.
Let go,
my
friend.
Let go.
Philip, Philip, please, please, help me.
The three of us stood there paralyzed, looking down on the still body of Mrs. Baker, her eyes glassy and blue, her blonde hair soaking up the blood from the hole in her head. One look was enough for the three of us to know that she was dead.
You killed her, Philip. I killed her. No, Walter. You killed her. Didn't he, Angelo?
The two of them stood there, glaring at one another across the body of Mrs. Baker.
Yes. You killed her, Walter. The gun was in my hand, but you killed her. If you hadn't tried to take the gun away from me, where are you going?
Oh, the police.
Police?
Yes.
Put down that gun. Put it down.
Don't you think you ought to put that gun away now?
He's right, Mr. Baker.
He kneeled down beside the body of his wife and stared at it tenderly. Suddenly his mouth started to move like he was choking for air, and his face twisted in angry pain and haste. He looked up at Walter. I could see Walter's sentence to realize that Mr. Baker was going out of his mind. It was a heavy glass ashtray by the phone. I could see Walter slowly reaching for it. Mr. Baker looked up and jumped back at Walter's throat.
You killed it, and you
don't. You don't.
Oh. Doctor.
Angelo.
Doctor. You're going to die, Walter. Die like Doris.
Help.
Doctor, don't bother, Angelo. You won't need a doctor.
Stop.
No, do it. Mr. Baker, give him a chance. Please, give him a chance.
No.
He doesn't need a doctor now, Angelo, does he? Go on. Bend over him. See if he needs a doctor.
Dead. Now they're both dead. Both dead.
What do we do, Mr. Baker?
Do? What? What is there to do?
The police. We gotta call the police.
They'll take me away from Donna. I don't want to leave her. No, I mustn't leave Donna.
Please. Please, Mr. Baker, what's you need to try?
The gun? No. No, I got the gun to protect myself from Walter. But I'm not afraid of Walter anymore.
She's dead, Walter. She's dead.
That's right. Dorothy, she's dead and Walter's dead. We can't leave them there. We must take them away to a nice, quiet place where they can be alone forever. We take them away in your car,
Angelo. My car?
Yes, Angelo. You must do as I tell you. It will be their funeral car.
Kitchen was next to the garage. Then he made me drive my car into the garage.
Open the trunk compartment, Angelo.
He kept the gun on me and followed me into the kitchen. He pointed to her first. I picked her up and carried her. Tried not to look at her. Telling myself I ought to grab the jack handle in the trunk compartment and swing it on him, but I didn't do it. I was afraid. I was afraid I'd never live to see Josie and Johnny again. I placed Mrs. Baker in the trunk gently. And then he made me go back to the other one.
Push him in, Angelo. Or his coat will stick through the door when you close it. Very good. Close the trunk.
As I locked the trunk door, I grabbed the handle and bit my lip to keep from passing out.
Don't you feel well?
I'll be all right.
Yes. You'll be all right as soon as we hit the road. The fresh country air will straighten you out. You get behind the wheel, please.
I got in and you got in the back seat.
I must remind you, Angelo. I'll be right here behind you with this gun in the back of your neck. Don't try to trick me.
Radio Jack, you're calling 64. Hey, Eddie. Why don't you answer? What's your idea?
Don't answer, Angelo.
Call me on the phone if your mic is out of order.
Ignore him, Angelo. Stop driving.
What's room to be?
Let's keep going. Let's stay off the Hutchinson Parkway. Patrol cars, you know. Take the back road. You find a nice, quiet place for them.
We went north on the post road. Louis called, breaking in on us every minute or so.
Calling 64. Radio taxi calling 64.
It's just two fellows, isn't it?
Well, he saw it. Let's get back to it. We leave him so he can get down to the diner for a bite.
Pass me that cigarette lighter on the dashboard. Don't you hear me? I want the cigarette lighter.
Oh, it's not working.
Have you got any matches in my pocket?
Well, let me have them. I reached into the side pocket of my jacket, fumbling through my handkerchief and keys for the pack of matches. And then my finger touched the crayon. A small piece of black crayon, no bigger than an inch long, with a paper wrapping. A small piece of crayon I'd taken away from Johnny after I yelled at him and made him cry for marking up the wall.
What about those matches?
Yeah. I handed over the matches. But the piece of crayon was in my palm, concealed and held tight by my little finger and the one next to it. He lit a cigarette.
You want the cigarette, Angelo?
No, thanks. There ever was a time in my life I needed a smoke in the thing. But I was stumbling with an idea. An idea to make my microphone stay open so Louis could hear me without Mr. Baker getting wise. But I had to hold on to the crayon. I couldn't take a chance using for a cigarette. I might drop that crayon. I waited for Louis to call me again.
Calling 64. Hey, Manny. You all right? Call me from the phone if you hear me.
Say, Mr. Baker, maybe I better answer.
Why?
Well, he might think I'm in a wreck. He'll have the cops start looking for me.
Yeah. Yes, you're quite right.
Very well, tell me.
But be careful what you're telling.
I picked the microphone off the dashboard with the hand that held it with the crayon.
64, call a radio taxi.
Where the heck you been, Angelo?
Let me explain, Louis.
He should hear how to relieve my pal, depending on you. Get back here. I'm going down the diner.
I kept gabbing to Louis and forcing the crayon into the button on the mic, right into the hole that housed the spring button. Hoping the paper wrapping and the crayon would wedge the button and keep my sending circuit open.
Louie. Louie, I'm fixing a flat. Must be a loose wire. I didn't hear you until just now. Be back as soon as I can. Roger.
I put the mic back on the dashboard. Praying the crayon wedge would hold. As long as that button was wedged on, Louie couldn't talk to me. As voice came through, I'd know the crayon was flipped on. So the wedge was holding. I raised my voice so it would carry the 2 feet between me and the mic.
Mr. Baker, are you gonna kill me too?
Kill you?
Yeah. Yeah, like you killed Mrs. Baker and Walter?
I've been thinking about what I ought to do with you, Angelo.
Oh, don't kill me, please. I gotta wipe the kid off next time, I swear it. Well, I'll never tell anyone that you killed two people.
Where are we
going to hide the bodies? We'll run out of gas if we keep going like this.
I know where we'll go. Lake Hatoma. Doris loved Lake Hatoma. We used to go there weekends long ago.
Where is Lake Hatoma?
About 40 miles from here.
40 miles? I do have to find somewhere to stall them. The range of my cab transmitter was about 30 miles. If I ever got out of range, I was done for. I had no way of knowing whether Louis left the office or if he caught my first words to him about my date.
You know how to get to Lake Hatoma from here, Mr. Baker?
Roughly, I know we used to go past White Plains.
Well, I got a map.
Good. Stop the car. Take a look at it.
Now, let's see. White Plains.
Yeah, Lake Hatoma. There it is. We go up here and then... I know what it is. You.
All right, let's go. Go the most direct way. No vehicle of mine.
Oh, no. We're on Weaver Street now. We keep going up Weaver Street till we get into Old Mariner Cross.
That sounds right, but hurry. I'm getting very tired. Step on the gas.
I heard him cut late, Tom.
Don't you hear me? I said let's go faster.
Yeah, sure. Sure, anything you say, Mr. Baker. But, do you think it's quiet? We're doing 50 now.
Not very fast in the country.
Well, county patrol cars are all through this station. We'll get caught speeding.
That's quite all right. I'd say the fine. Faster, Angelo. That's 60. 65.
70.
Faster.
You'll
soon be dead. I'm tired. Very tired. I wonder if
Johnny's
tired.
Yeah, see, what did I tell you? This is Weaver Street. And then it's Old Mariner Cross. Okay.
Slow down. But remember, I'll have the gun in my coat pocket. Let me do the talking. Just accept the ticket and we'll be on our way.
Oh! Control car, let me roll ahead and pull in behind us and we came to a stop.
Where do you think you're going? You were doing 80.
Let's see your license.
It's my fault, officer. I asked him to...
Yeah, what for?
Well, there's been a death in my family. My wife.
Sorry. So I have to give the driver the ticket.
She looked at my license and the name of the patrol car that night. And it started making out the ticket. And then in the side mirror of my cab, I could see another car get out of the patrol car with a gun in his hand. And I saw him sneak down on the right side of the cab. He stuck the gun through the open back window just as Mr. Baker saw.
Don't move.
What?
Bad we couldn't take him in.
Oh, it helps, you see.
It helps. Say, how come this guy didn't get wise? Your microphone circuit was over.
You want to know? You really want to know? I'm leaving the house to go to work, see? You know, all of my kids, Johnny, was fucking up the walls with crayon. I yell at him and make him cry and take the crayon away. That's what kept the mic open, man. Look here. You see? The crayon took all the buttons down. See? You got a kid?
Yeah, why?
Didn't you think I'd done right? Yelling at Johnny?
It just goes to show you a fella can do a lot worse than stopping in the middle of the night for a lovely siren. As you fathers, next time you find Junior's crayon scrawled all over the house, he means well. It's time to show you the handwriting on the wall. Oh, this reminds me of a fellow I know who's crazy about baseball. When the warden asked him what he wanted for a last request, he said he'd like to watch a game from the scaffold. So they called it after six, so he could enjoy a seventh inning stretch.
WRVO Playhouse, Deadly Fair. From CBS 1949, that's a wrap. A new acquisition Wednesday, WRVO Playhouse. We opened up just after the 8 o'clock news with an episode of Raffles. Murder Signs Its Name from 1945. We also heard Arthur Godfrey time The Magnificent Montague, a command performance number 18 in that series from the Armed Forces Radio Service. We also heard Romance, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar and Inner Sanctum, Deadly Fair, 1949. A Thursday WRVO Playhouse opens up with The Return of the Jedi, episode number 1. In that portion of the trilogy, then it's on 4 hours. The great old-time radio with a new acquisition of Nick Carter, Master Detective. Blues with Suspense, great old-time radio on a Thursday WRVO Playhouse. A look at our weather forecast, calling for clear to partly cloudy skies for the overnight hours. Low temperatures of 58 to 63 degrees, depending on where you are in the region. Tomorrow and Friday, both partly sunny days. It'll turn warmer and more humid. High temperatures both days ranging in the 80s. It'll be a bit cooler near Lake Ontario in the 90s in some urban areas. There's a chance of a thunderstorm late Friday afternoon and Friday night. That's all for a new acquisition Wednesday, WRVO Playhouse. Fresh air comes your way in just a few moments. I'm Nick Butchko, your guide through the theater of the mind, Monday through Thursday, where the pictures are better in your theater of the mind. Good night, everyone.
Serving Central and Northern New York for more than 30 years, it's the WRVO station, your 24-hour source for NPR news. WRVD, FM 90.3, Syracuse. WRVJ, FM 91.7, Watertown. WRVN, FM 91.9, Utica. WSUC, FM 90.5, Cortland. And WRVO, FM 89.9, Oswego, Syracuse.
The sights and sounds of Oswego's Harborfest 99 are coming to the WRVO station. This Saturday night, join us for the music to accompany the New York Power Authority fireworks by Grucci live from Brightbeck Park. The WRVO station will bring you live updates that night on the WRVO Playhouse, culminating with NYFA's fireworks by Grucci at 9:30. Stop by and see us or listen at home this Saturday night for this spectacular fireworks extravaganza right here on the WRVO station.
fresh air, I'm Terry Gross. Ernest Hemingway was born 100 years ago today.